We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the show, my friends. And oh my gosh, speaking of friends, I love when we can bring my friends on the show here. So excited for this conversation with a man who I've been friends with for more than 10 years. Ethan Page just made his AEW debut at Revolution, and I couldn't be happier for him. He works so insanely hard, and I just love seeing these kinds of stories of good things happening to good people. So thanks again for being with us on another audio adventure. Snap a screenshot. Let us know that you're on this ride with us. Tag me. I'm at Chris Van Fleet. Tag Ethan. He is at Official Ego, because of course he is all ego, Ethan Page. While we're talking about usernames, I just joined TikTok. So Chris Van Fleet was taken on there by another guy named Chris Van Fleet. Apparently this is a common, I don't know, there's at least a handful of us in the world. So if you're on TikTok, I'm on TikTok at Chris Van Fleet 1. So all ego Ethan Page is his gimmick. But Julian, that's his real name, and Julian is quite a nice, kind, humble guy, and he has one of the most entertaining YouTube channels out there. So if you subscribe to my channel, make sure to subscribe to Ethan Page as well. And I'm hoping that you're already a subscriber here on Insight. But if you're not, take a second and let's right that wrong right now by following or subscribing wherever you're listening to this. Joppo5000 left this review that says, podcast greater than YouTube. I've watched several of Chris's YouTube interviews, but it wasn't until the Major Wrestling Figure podcast mentioned Chris's podcast that I even knew he had one. I like it better than the YouTube interviews, and I highly recommend it to any wrestling fan. Well, my goodness. That is very kind. Thank you for that. Glad you found the podcast. I think there's a lot of people who have watched the videos on YouTube, but don't know that I have a podcast. So thank you. Thanks for being with us on this. You know, I started my broadcasting career in radio, so I really have this affinity for audio. I just love doing these podcasts. I mean, I also love YouTube. I also love TV, of course, but there's something so intimate about the fact that you're most likely wearing headphones right now, and I'm speaking directly into your ears. It's just something that I love about audio. All right, enough about me and this broadcasting tangent that I've gone off on here. My guest today is one of the newest members of the AEW roster. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, all ego, Ethan Page. Welcome back to the show, man. I am so excited for you. I am so proud of you. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm so happy to do this again. How many people have done multiple? Just me and The Rock, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Just you and The Rock and, you know, maybe Cody Rhodes and maybe some other people you work
yeah,
with.
Yeah. Sure. Maybe. It's but good company, though.
This, congratulations, man. How does this feel?
I was trying to like explain it to my wife because I've still like, it's been, I've known for a while, but now that it's like, you know, out, I've debuted on a pay-per-view and then Dynamite, I'm still on this like weird high of not even being able to comprehend that I finally like achieved my dream. Cause it's like, you one step closer. I've never actually, you know, made it to the point that I've envisioned from when I was a kid. So it's like, I don't even know how to like digest it or like comprehend that it's happened. So like, it's great. Obviously, you can see the smile on my face just talking about it, but like, I can't explain it because I don't even know how, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Look, we're both from around the same area, just outside of Toronto. We're both Canadian. When you get that opportunity to work in the US, that's a big thing. So why does this feel so different from when you signed with Impact?
So the exposure is like nothing else. The reach that AEW has around the world is like nothing else. I'm going to bring up my wife a lot because she's been on this like crazy journey to get to this point and has just trusted blindly that I would find a way to make it happen. But I talked to her about this all the time. And even she was blown away with the fact that like locally in my hometown of Hamilton, Ontario, I made the cover of the sports section in our newspaper. Family members who have kind of like, you know, mildly scoffed at the fact that I'm a professional wrestler are now like, wow, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. I've been bragging about you. I think there's just a undeniable amount of, I guess, yeah, reach and exposure and importance of AEW in the sports entertainment world. And it's crazy.
You came in as part of pay-per-view. You came in as like this mystery guy that was a mystery participant in the Revolution ladder match. Like that also, I think, speaks a lot to this too.
Yeah. And it was like a perfect storm kind of. Yeah. And but especially for me, someone that's so active and vocal on social media and using all the tools that we had at our kind of like disposal, it was so hard to be silent for so long. But I think it was worth the wait, and I hope fans can agree.
Did you have people? So you were silent for a while. Like you basically, you got rid of your profile picture. You didn't post for a long time. Did you have fans reaching out being like, hey man, is everything all right?
On a regular basis, fans, family, friends, people thought I was like sad or disappearing from the world. And it was like a really big, like eye opener with, I guess, like the power of perception and the power of people assuming that everything that's on social media is either the truth or your real life. But I was at home with my wife and kid, kind of like enjoying the first real time off that I've had in professional wrestling in like 15 years. It was the longest period I've ever gone without having a wrestling match. So I was actually having to go in and get some ring time before the pay-per-view debut. So it was awesome.
I think there might be a lot of people who weren't Impact Wrestling fans or maybe aren't indie wrestling fans who saw you debut and they went, huh, who's Ethan Page? So how do you answer that question? Who is Ethan Page?
Oh, I always send the YouTube link because there's like a it's like a weekly documentary kind of explaining who I am, where I was, where I went, and where I'm going. But for people watching this, I am a Canadian-born professional wrestler. I've been doing this for 14 years. I pride myself on being more of an entertainer than an athlete. But when it comes to it in the ring, I'm always willing to go the extra mile and deliver as best as I can. But like I said, I lean more into the entertainment, and I love to talk trash. Did I mention I was Canadian?
You are incredibly entertaining.
Thanks, Chris.
But I think that like this path that you've been on this the last few years, where you're saying like, I play this character named Ethan Page, but my name is Julian and I have this website played by Julian. I think that's rubbed some like traditionalists, some purists the wrong way.
You're probably right, which is the craziest part, because I consider myself to be a pro wrestling traditionalist and purist so when it comes to like how I perform and how I execute my matches or my promos or my character. But at the end of the day, I want to be credited for the work that I put into this and the effort that I put into this. And my career is reaching 15, 16 years. I think I started in 2006. There's been so many instances where I did not have a say in my name, in my character, in the way I was represented or presented. And it's amazing now, being in AEW, the creative freedom and I guess trust that they give their talent to kind of let them do what they want and play the characters that they want. So I can fully now be the Ethan Page, the all ego Ethan Page that I've always wanted to be. So it's cool. So I've kind of pushed the Played by Julian a little out of the way and kind of dedicated my social media to catering to playing Ethan Page, giving the AEW fans a better experience with social media being integrated into their television show.
This has been a long time coming, and I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but you were supposed to be part of AEW when AEW was first announced 2 years ago.
I know there was definitely interest, but at the time I was under contract with Impact, so it was not really a possibility. But yes, I was, I guess, spoken to to see what my situation was. But me personally, I'm very glad with the way everything kind of played out and getting to have those years with Impact Wrestling. It was an experience that I needed to kind of grow personally and professionally. And it's like to get those reps in, to get comfortable in the ring, to get comfortable being on television, timing, cues, all that stuff. Like it made me a better performer in the end. And I think AEW will benefit from that now that I did have those experiences.
Well, now you're back to being a single star. Like, so all ego Ethan Page can be all Ethan Page all the time.
Yeah.
Are you excited to be a single star again? I mean, Josh Alexander is incredible and supremely talented, but now you've got a chance to shine on your own.
Yeah. And like, I'm very proud of what we accomplished as a team. And obviously, if the potential is there for down the road for the North to do a tag team, obviously I'm in. There's like too much chemistry there, and we are and were one of the best tag teams in the world. And I think now, especially, I mean, both of us, to kind of get our shot to do our own thing and venture off into singles. I've always loved having the spotlight shine solely on me, so this is a natural fit for all ego Ethan Page. And I had my singles run with Evolve Wrestling prior to Impact Wrestling. So I've dabbled in both and I'm comfortable with both. So I'm excited to see what happens going forward with AEW.
Anybody who has been following your career can see like the physical change that Ethan Page has had over the last year. Like you went from no offense to you, your dad, but you went from a dude that kind of had a dad bod to like a jack dude now.
Yes, hold on. If you'll pay extra, I'll give you one of these.
Oh, wow. Excuse me. I don't know if we can fit this in the screen.
It was crazy, and it was essentially, I knew that my contract was coming up with Impact Wrestling at the time, my current employer, and my situation at home. We wanted our family to grow. We wanted our home to grow, and it was kind of just riding on the amount of effort I was willing to put in. And I had to have like a talk with myself in the mirror and kind of let myself know like, hey, you really aren't giving this 110%. Like, could you imagine if you actually tried harder? And I did, and I've committed to it. It hasn't even been a full year, which is the craziest part to me. It'll be June of this year will be a full year of me being quote unquote in shape or healthy. So it's been a wild ride, and now it's almost so routine that if I don't have like a daily workout, I feel really weird and like not good. So it's so normal now that it's something that I don't even have to think about, which thank goodness, because to go back into the mindset of when I was in a lot worse shape, it was a tough task to get myself off the couch and into the gym.
I think I was really surprised and impressed with how quickly your body transformed. And there's going to be a lot of people that are watching this going, man, I really could use to lose 15, 20, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What shifted for you?
Oh man, I don't want to like praise the pandemic because it's such a, like it's done.
It's a silver lining, though.
It's been a very tough time for a lot of people, but it allowed me to have the amount of free time that somebody who has lots of weight to shed needs. And it was multiple hours in, not even a gym because the gyms were closed. So, I got on the internet, started looking around, and I got myself a bike. And from there, it kind of slowly started growing. And now I have dumbbells, a skipping rope, a Bowflex, some other, a bench to do sit-ups. And my home gym slowly grew and my body slowly got smaller. So
didn't you get the Bowflex kind of by accident?
Yeah. So I am, okay, listen, everybody, I am the obnoxious man in your neighborhood who works out in his garage with the garage door open. So there may or may not be elderly ladies who loop the block multiple times. Mm. Now, one of those said ladies had a Bowflex in her basement that she wanted to get rid of anyways. So I helped her, and me and my father picked it up and brought it to my place. And yeah, it was like insane luck. And thank you, Jenny from three blocks over, for helping me, because it like really helped my workouts and it helped me not go crazy with kind of having repetitive lifts and repetitive workouts on a daily basis. Cause again, I am doing this in my garage, and in Canada, it can get as low as like negative 20. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit.
I think it's close to, like, once you get into the negatives, I think it starts to cross over at some point. So like negative 20 is probably like 5 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, there you go. So to everyone who knows what 5 Fahrenheit is, yes, I am crazy.
You're gonna have to start to get used to this. Like,
so I know.
are you thinking of moving to the US?
Yes. More so my wife. She's Colombian, so she's like been sick of the cold since she moved to Canada. So she's dying to go somewhere warm and tropical. And Florida is definitely on the high end option, especially for me, because I love Disney World. So if I can do that with my daughter on a regular basis, count me in.
Well, I mean, right now, Florida is obviously the home base for AEW, where all the shows are, Daly's Place. I'm imagining, you know, things will start to open up eventually, but that's a good home base for wrestlers. There's a lot of wrestlers that live in Florida.
Yeah. And like I said, like, I'm cool with keeping my garage gym going. And if I know it's going to be, you know, relatively warm all year round, that's a thumbs up for me.
It's more than relatively warm in Florida.
Oh, perfect.
I lived there for 5 years. Like,
if I can walk into my garage, sweat before I lift a weight, I don't even have to work out. I already feel great.
You open up the door to your garage and it will feel like you're walking into a sauna.
Perfect.
That's what life in Florida is going to be like for you.
All right. I'm already into it.
You know, the last interview that we did, I think it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit, almost coming up on 2 years. I think it was, you guys were doing the tapings in Hollywood, California.
LA. Yeah.
Yeah. In Los Angeles. You were kind of like, you were doing your YouTube channel. You were super consistent with it, but you were like, man, this is a lot of work.
Yes.
Does it still feel like a lot of work?
Yes. But because I took those 4 months off, it's exciting to be back at it. And I like the way my brain works and the way I just operate on a daily basis. I need projects. I need work. I need something to like put out into the world and be like, hey, I created this. I made this. So right now it doesn't feel like work at all. Like I'm already 3 weeks ahead for editing just because of how excited I am to kind of just piece all these brand new vlogs together from AEW. So yeah, it is a lot of work and it takes a lot of time to like kind of, I don't know, get used to how everything works and to like, I don't know, repetition is key with everything. You get better with reps, but yeah, right now it doesn't feel like work at all, but it is a lot of work.
Well, I'm going to link it below so everybody can subscribe. Yes,
please do so. I want that. See that plaque behind Chris there?
Oh, this old thing?
Yeah. Obviously, championships in AEW is number one. I would say number two is getting that plaque, though.
So what are you at right as we record this right now? How many subscribers do you have?
I think 17,600.
Okay. So you have 82,000 to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible.
I mean, you're on national television, international television every week. I think it's not a difficult thing here.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
So I know a lot of podcasters and aspiring podcasters listen to the show, and you've heard me talk about it before, but I'm back to talk to you again about hosting your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Blue Wire Hustle is a new program created to give everybody that opportunity to take your podcast to that next level. Or if you've always wanted to host a podcast, but you're like, man, where do I start? Where do I start with this thing? Well, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, an e-learning course full of tips and tricks, and so much more. And on top of that, we'll also help you get your show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, all of the other listening platforms. And the best part about this is you get all of this for just...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
$15 a month, which is the same rate that you'd be paying just for like the initial setup with another hosting site. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to me talk about your favorite stuff or interview your favorite people, and you want to make your own voice heard, check out Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so make sure to get your application in today. To apply, just go to bwhustle.com/join, and you can check out the description box of this episode to find out more info. Find that link as well, but I'll give it to you one more time. It's bwhustle.com/join. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Now, this isn't a crisis line. This isn't self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy ever again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/insight. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/insight. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So the special offer for anybody listening to Insight right now is 10% off your first month. Just go to BetterHelp.com/insight. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/insight. Where did the idea of Karate Man come from over the last year?
Oh man, it was almost out of necessity, because there was so little going on with the pandemic, especially when it first started. No one really knew what was going on. There was very limited amount of independent events. And then even at the time, I don't even think I was able to cross the border to go film for Impact. We were doing like shoots in Canada to send to put on the TV show there. So this is like right at the beginning of everything. I needed to create something that I could do with myself and kind of tell like a little story on my YouTube channel and make merch. It was essentially like a thing that I could create to entertain my fans and kind of offer new merch and a way for me to kind of help my family cover our bills during a really tough time. And it stemmed from a joke in a promo backstage that through my feud with Ken Shamrock, who is an MMA legend, I thought it would be hilarious if I was the Karate Man, because it's like the most insulting thing you could say to somebody. And it just kind of, once it caught on online, I was like, oh, there's something here, and it's organic. And then I just slowly started, you know, monetizing it as best as I could.
But the fact that Ethan Page was fighting Karate Man was so good. Like, the special effects you were doing from your own house were like, they're amazing.
Thank you. It's all self-taught. And if you could see how lame the wrinkled green screen is that I was using, there was no lighting. It was all just like very meticulously done. And I would do like little, I guess, shot sheets so that I knew like what, like how I would have to shoot it so that, okay, I know I only have essentially like a 5 foot by 5 foot green screen, so I can't be doing full body. But if I zoom the guy out and, but something's in front of him, like a bush, he could look like he's farther away. So like I had to like think of all that kind of stuff and like special effects and setting up the shot so it looked like a real movie without actually having like a full scene to shoot. So yeah.
Well, whatever you're doing, like, you guys are punching each other. You're literally fighting each other. It's amazing.
Thank you. It took a long time and a lot of work. And I have to say this because I get a lot of comments of people being like, ugh, professional wrestling in 2021, this is not it. You are right. That is not professional wrestling. It's my YouTube channel where I'm making entertaining movies or skits or whatever. I'm pretty sure the general public knows I'm playing both characters, which Jean-Claude Van Damme, a hero of mine, did in a movie of his. So, you know, like, I'm just replicating the legends of the past. That's all I'm doing.
Well, we see Karate Man in AEW.
If it's up to me, no. But obviously, never say never. I can't deny people my entertainment.
You don't like Karate Man?
Like I said, it was out of necessity. And I really think it has its place in a very specific, like, I liked doing it on the independents because it was tongue in cheek and the fans were in on it. They knew it was really fun for them. And I would even stay in character when I would do merchandise, and kids loved it. And Like, they're like dying laughing and they're asking me when Ethan Page is coming out. So like, it's fun. But I think when it comes to television, I have the ability to really convince people that I'm a terrible human being and I hate my opponent. And I don't think the Karate Man fits in that kind of world, especially a sports-based world, and the way that AEW presents its wrestling with its wins-loss records and how serious they take title shots and the way they present their championships. I don't think Karate Man would fit too well in that. But Ethan Page, yes.
How much pressure did you feel or did you put on yourself? You're the breadwinner, right? You're a husband, but you're also a father, and wrestling is paying the bills. So yeah. Obviously, you know, it's been a tough year for everybody, but it's been definitely a tough year in the world of sports and entertainment. How much pressure were you putting on yourself to make this happen?
How long we got? That I would say that was the number one motivation. But a pressure like nothing else. Especially during, like you were saying, such a tough time to be trying to get hired during all of this, to prove my value, during a time where companies probably aren't hiring the most people right now. It was super, super stressful, like super stressful, knowing where I'm at now and where I'll be for the next couple of years took off so much. Weight off my shoulders and gave me the most amazing feeling. And I'll be forever grateful to AEW for the opportunity they have afforded me, but not only me, my family, to be able to kind of chase this dream. And even just to joke around with you about potentially moving to Florida, that was not a topic of discussion in November of 2020. So it's incredible. And it was the scariest few months, and unsure months of my life.
I mean, it's a big leap. It's a big leap to take, you know, you had made a name for yourself in Impact Wrestling. They'd been very good to you. It's a big leap for you to go, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself and I'm going to see if I can go work elsewhere.
Yeah, that was the scary part, because it's not just me. Everything I say, everything I do, that has a ripple effect for everyone that lives under this roof. So if I didn't land where I was hoping, we probably wouldn't be doing this interview right now. And I would be stressing out on finding ways to kind of make ends meet. I'm just so happy.
The weight has been lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah.
Your guy is The Rock, right? Like, he's your guy. Yes.
Number one, numero uno.
So I posted a clip from an old interview I did with The Rock where he talked about his favorite promo of all time. And then you sent me a message and said, there's no way that's The Rock's favorite promo.
It can't be. It can't be. What? How? Okay. I feel like that promo, by the way, anyone listening to this, just go check it out on his page so you can.
The promo is basically, you know, The Rock's a lot of things, but sucks ain't one of them. That promo. When Rocky Maivia became The Rock.
Well, I thought it was the Jennifer Flowers one.
That was the birth of, he said that one, and then also Smell What the Rock's Cooking, which is obviously.
Yeah, that's the first time he said that.
Yeah, those are two pretty iconic 14 promos.
Yes, I know, but if you're going to say it's your, that's like me saying my favorite match is my first one that I was all ego. I for sure sucked, but I think like once he got into The Rock character and he became the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, then you start busting out these promos where he's probably not even thinking about it. It's just so good and so natural. You're like, oh, that's got to be one of the best ones. Like when he is roasting Billy Gunn and talking to God, it's like, that's like pure entertainment, or anything for with Mick Foley.
Yes.
Rock and Sock Connection. It's all great stuff. So yes, I'm sorry, Rock. I disagree with you. Those are not your best promos.
Would you say a lot of who you are now is because of who The Rock was in the Attitude Era?
Yeah, 100%. Except I can't say half the stuff he said or I'd be canceled. So
people seem to forget that. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you're looking at PG Dwayne Johnson right now.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. What is your best match? If it's not the first match as all ego, what is your best match?
Oh, man. That's really tough. I really liked my very last singles match with Impact Wrestling, which was against Carl Anderson. I like felt like I got into such a comfort where it was like just, you know, go out there, do my job, and that was it. And I was really proud at, I guess, yeah, just how comfortable I was in my position. But I will say there's a match coming up where it might already be out. Check it out on Dark Elevation. Can't tell you who my opponent is, but I'm very proud of finally getting a little comfortable, because my first weekend with AEW, the pressure was so immense. Like, this is my dream come true scenario. It took a couple days to kind of get comfortable and relax. And I'm really excited for people to see what's to come for All Ego Ethan Page in AEW.
Well, when you look at the entire roster, who are you most excited to have a match with?
Oh, man. Every time I watch Rey Fénix wrestle, I want to burn my wrestling boots and retire. He is so good. And I would love to test myself. We've wrestled before in England many years ago. But again, that was pre-workout Ethan Page. So, you know, my cardio would be much better. And I think my mind to having all those years to be on television kind of, you know, chip away at what I really wanted All Ego Ethan Page to be. I would love to have that match with Rey Fénix. I think anyone on the roster would love to wrestle Rey Fénix. He just elevates everyone he's in the ring with.
Rey Fénix and Ethan Page. That's a great match. Yeah. Are you healed up from being from that ladder match? You were pretty welted and bruised up.
Yeah. It took a while. Thanks, Cody.
Are you cutting a promo on me?
No, not you. I'm looking deep into Cody's soul right now. Thank you so much for welcoming me to the locker room.
Wow, this got intense here. Jeez. Man, I mean, again, circling back to what we talked about at the start of this conversation, a ladder match when you're the surprise entrant, it's a heck of a way to make a debut.
It is. It's also a heck of a way to have your first match back after not wrestling for 4 months. So let's.
Jake the Snake Roberts is involved.
Oh. Listen, if we're going to be a little fans right now, that was probably because nobody knew that I was debuting other than my parents. So my parents and siblings knew. They kind of grabbed the pay-per-view at their house. They threw a little pizza party. My daughter's there. My wife is there. They made a AEW cake with the world title on it. They all wore my t-shirts. And that in itself is an amazing moment. But I think for my dad to see Jake the Snake clothesline me on a pay-per-view is like the most full circle life moment, because my dad's the one that introduced me to wrestling. So we would used to watch, like, you know, in the early 90s, and, you know, Jake the Snake, Steamboat, Savage, Hogan, Razor. So my finisher being a variation of the Razor's Edge, taking that line from Jake the Snake is like, it's cool for me, but I can only imagine how cool it is for my father to see his son like achieve his dream and get to work with people that we both kind of enjoyed watching together.
At what point during that week, maybe it's that day, did you find out that Jake the Snake would be involved in the match?
When he pulled me off a ladder and clotheslined me out of my boots.
This wasn't part of the plan?
Listen, man, I can't pull the curtain back too much.
Thought we were being fans here.
When I threw his client, Lance Archer, across the ring, by the way, not to brag too much, the man is just twice my size. I mean, Jake the Snake, he got a little upset. I don't blame him. I'd be mad at me, too.
It's so good to catch up with you, man. And
dude, this is great.
I love having you on the show. I can't wait to see you in person again. I can't wait to see just people in
anyone.
But I want to be super respectful of your time. But as I wrap this up, I can tell how grateful you are for this opportunity, but I end every interview talking about gratitude. And you can see it right here. Be great, be grateful. What are three things in your life that you're grateful for right now?
Oh, man. This job. I know you said it already, but I cannot overstate the fact that this is not an opportunity that me or my family take lightly. It is the biggest door that's ever been opened for me. So I'm going to do everything in my power to work my ass off and make them not regret the decision to have Ethan Page in AEW long term, you know? I'm very grateful for my family. I know that encompasses a lot of people, but it takes a village, as they say, and it truly has. It's been a family effort to get me to this point in my life, in my career, and I know it's going to take even more work to keep this going. And I guess the third thing that I'm grateful for, man, the Snyder Cut. I watched it last night. It was awesome.
Is that why you got a little Superman thing with your hair here?
No. Hey, listen, you haven't seen the Ethan Page curl Twitter account? Now it's like a full on thing. This is it's my look, you know?
I like it. Man, I am so excited again. So proud. Congratulations. Can't wait to see what's next for you in AEW.
Me too, man. Me too. And I'm even more pumped to kind of bring my version of vlogging and video editing to an already very popular online brand of AEW with Being the Elite and Sammy's Vlog. So it's something completely different. Check it out. If you're looking for some behind the scenes, I'm the guy to check out.
Wow. All right. Thanks again, man.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on this audio adventure. Super pumped for what the next 6 to 12 to 18 months look like for Ethan Page and his career. He is the epitome of hard work paying off. And whether or not you like his character, and actually you're not supposed to like his character. That's what makes him so good at his job. But whether or not you like Ethan Page, it's hard not to respect what Julian has built. Share this with a fellow egomaniac. Take a screenshot. Tag us on social media. I'm at Chris Van Vliet. He is at Official Ego. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I love someone who bets on themselves. Hell, that's what I've been doing my entire career. And this quote from Thomas Jefferson sums it up best. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. And nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Be great. Be grateful, my friends. We'll see you on the next one for some more insight. Woo!